Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in to another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager at Second City Hockey. You can find me on Twitter at DMelt57. I've got three line mates with me this evening. We've got a little bit of a shuffle of the lineup, but we got some stuff to talk about because what else are we going to do? So up first this evening, it's the analytics darling of Second City Hockey. No doubt losing their minds right now because of what's happening in the playoffs. On Twitter, at Jehosa's Witness, it's Shepard Price.
Good to see the Dallas fans are reacting positively to this loss by throwing litter onto the ice.
You would think that Dallas sports fans would be accustomed to postseason disappointment by now.
Oh, you'd think. When was the last time the Cowboys did anything in the playoffs?
That's exactly where I was going, and the Mavericks were good when Dirk Nowitzki was there, and that was a while ago. And they don't have a baseball team. I guess the Rangers. Close.
Rangers.
Just
outside.
Yeah. When was the last time the Rangers were relevant? Also a hockey question. Hey-o.
Before Josh Hamilton went to rehab?
Oh, boy. Yeah, you're not wrong. Mm. It feels like the NBA playoff series are both conference finals are getting swept, and it's starting to look like we might get that in the NHL right now because as we're recording, they're going to the second intermission and Vegas is up 4-0. So I don't feel good about Dallas. They actually just said on the broadcast that Dallas did have a 3-goal comeback earlier in the season. It was against the Chicago Blackhawks, but they're not playing the Chicago Blackhawks
that doesn't count.
Tonight.
And
I forgot about that game until they brought it up, and that was not pleasant.
No.
But also with us this evening, she is not on Twitter, but she's at SecondCityHockey.com under the name LBR. It's where she is the Second City Hockey Bull and Wall of Text. I can't forget. It's Betsy.
I haven't watched, I didn't watch either of the two games prior to this, and I'm not watching this one too. I feel like I'm not missing much.
No, not really. It's like, well, like the
I know Carolina, the first two games were close because they were in overtime, but like.
Yeah, like I feel like Carolina, Florida has been a lot more of a much tighter, closer, like what you would expect out of a conference final. And like not only close on the scoreboard, but just close in general, and but like still a good, entertaining game. Even like the 1-0 game the other night was pretty fun to watch. Dallas and Vegas seem like there's a little bit of a step back from this angle, but
yeah,
I could be wrong.
I've been getting home late on those nights, and nothing. I'm like, well, I want to watch this, or do I want to watch more Survivor? And
I don't blame you. The Golden Knights aren't going to let us lose. They scored in less than 2 minutes in both of our times.
Yeah,
like it's just, at this point, I really did think before the series that if we were going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals because Logan Thompson returned, Aiden Hill's been playing lights out.
Who?
Aiden Hill.
I don't even remember where they got Aiden Hill from.
He was a Arizona draft pick who was traded to San Jose for nothing and then traded to us for nothing.
So there you go. Good good work, NHL GMs. Once again, your expertise knows no bounds. Also with us this evening, not on Twitter, at secondcityhockey.com as well. And I think we're just going to roll with a nickname to be determined. It's Eric Gegenheimer.
I appreciate that Jamie Benn's misconduct penalty that he got this evening has reopened the bad things happen. That's why Jamie Benn doesn't like to go down rhetoric from many, many years ago, for those who remember.
Oh, that was a good time to be on the internet. There's a handful of hockey Twitter jokes that that exists in certain weird corners of the internet. I mean, there's all of those, and then just like various Corey Perry hatred that is also part of the same genre of comedy, I guess.
Didn't Corey Perry, he like infected the league with mumps? Wasn't that, it was like 10 years ago.
That sounds right.
I just remember them doing the interview with the Penguins and then being like, no, it hasn't impacted us yet. And they literally then moved to Crosby and he had like a softball size mump on his face. And you were like, sir, look in the mirror, please. And then he was out for like 2 weeks with the mumps.
Had they played Anaheim recently?
Yeah, they had just played them literally like 2 days before.
There it is.
Yep, Corey Perry.
He looks like he would have infectious
disease. He looks like
patient. Doesn't really mean he's like a real human being, but
yeah, patient zero for everything.
He kind of looks Radish, right?
He looks like the kid you go.
Wait, what did Taylor Radish do?
No, not Radish. Rat-ish.
Oh, sorry. There's a T there, not a D. Gotcha.
Yeah, notice how I'm not stepping up to defend him like I do Marchand.
No defense required. So I don't have there's not really too much else to say about the NHL playoffs right now, because it's kind of as we were just kind of mentioned there, like it's kind of seems like it's a done deal. We're gonna have a Vegas and Florida Stanley Cup final, which is gonna be interesting. Best of luck to Shea's overall cardiac health.
This feels like too much of a jinx. Please stop.
I know.
We can trash talk after the series is over and before the series begins.
Okay.
We do not talk in the middle. We do not discuss. No. We do not discuss in the middle.
Jinxes are for cowards. They don't exist. You're fine.
I am very superstitious. I'm like Michael Scott. I'm not a little bit superstitious. I am very superstitious.
Well, then, in order to honor your stitiousness, we're going to completely run away from that topic, and we're going to turn our attention to the Chicago Blackhawks, oddly enough, because so as first reported here at Second City Hockey, they've got the number one pick this year. So they're obviously picking Connor Bedard. But what I wanted to kind of walk through with the group here is this number 19 pick that they have. And it's part not only do they have the number 19 overall pick in the first round, they also have like 4 second round picks and numerous picks in numerous rounds for several of the next drafts of the next few years. So they have a lot of ammo. Now, as I think we touched on this a little bit last week, that the Blackhawks do need a high quantity of players because the prospect pool could use more bodies than it already has right now. And they have some good talent at the top, but more would certainly help with this long-term plan that they've got in place. So the idea of possibly trading up with this number 19 pick, using all of this extra draft capital that they have as a potential avenue for that is something I wanted to explore this evening, but we want to do it in a more with using combination of like the data that exists out there in terms of how often these trades actually happen, because they don't seem to happen in the NHL as much as they happen in other leagues, what it would take to make that happen, and then just the overall logistics and whether or not it could actually work. So here's where I want to start with the group here. Is really, well, obviously we're going to pretend you're all interested in this idea, but I guess the question I have for each of you, and I'm going to start with Betsy, because I remember you were one of the people that seemed less inclined to agree with this idea when we were talking about it last week. How high up would you want the Blackhawks to trade to make it to pique your interest?
Like top 10, top 15, like that kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Top 10, probably maybe top 12. There's like a chunky group.
Okay.
Right around between like after 6, maybe even after 7. So 7 to like 12 or 13 that are all jumbled up. All those kids are practically the same. Okay. I think there's a little bit of drop off, but my hesitation with this isn't really about value of jumping up. It's about realism of jumping up.
Okay. Well, we're going to get to that in a bit. Cause I've been clicking around a little bit for the last hour. So I've got some data to support this. Eric or Shay, do either one of you have any more to add? Cause right now we're going to put our target in roughly the going from 19 to roughly the top 12 of the NHL draft.
I'd say top 8 after Mitchkov slides.
So Shay said top 8. Eric, what about you?
That's why I was going to say the same thing. I think you have to look at, I don't think he gets by Washington. So you have to look at if there's anything you could do to get Washington's pick from Washington, which would put you at 8.
Okay.
I don't think you're getting higher than that. I don't think there's anything you could realistically do that's not nuts, but that might be something. If he slides, if he keeps going and he goes that low, that would be interesting.
Okay.
In a normal draft, I would agree top 10, top 8 is more preferred. But in this draft, I think you can slide back a little bit. There's a higher quality of mid-range first rounders this year.
There's a higher quality of mid-round first-round prospects. But I don't want mid-round first-round prospects. I want Medved Mitchkov.
Yeah. Well, I think the idea here is that if you trade up with that 19 pick. Like you might get your Taves and Kane in this draft, essentially, like because the Hawks got those in two separate years. I know they're not going to trade all the way up to number 3 where Taves was taken. But the idea is you're going to get another franchise fixture type of player by trading into the top 10 to pair with Bedard. And I don't know if that second player would be arriving in the NHL next season necessarily, but it's kind of a You have a player that's in the top 10 has a higher chance of being like a star type of player than the 19 pick. So it's just it would be another layer of excitement and intrigue around this team that's already been buzzing a little bit with the Bedard stuff. So the Mitchkov thing is a huge variable here. For sure, we should call that out because if he slides down in the draft for whatever reason, the Blackhawks are one of the teams that are best suited to draft him, let him finish out his contract in Russia, and then come over in a few years and hopefully be everything he is rumored and scouted and projected to be. So that is part of this equation for sure. And I want to mention Eric's point about Washington at number 8, because as I was clicking around and looking at some of these other teams, that was the one team that if you go through the top 8, so obviously Chicago at 1, and then you've got Anaheim, Columbus, San Jose, Montreal, Arizona, and Philly. Those 7 teams are all probably going to make that pick because they need stars in their system. They need talent. They need top-end talent. They're all in similar boats that the Blackhawks are in right now. Washington is where things get a little bit trickier, and we're going to come back to that in a little bit. But the question I have for the group, and I want you to throw some numbers at me. I looked back the last decade, or so the last 10 drafts from 2022 to 2013. How many times do you think a top 10 pick was involved in a trade? The number of picks that were involved in trades. How many times do you think it's happened in the last 10 drafts?
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Were they knowingly trading a top 10 pick? Like, does the Ottawa San Jose Erik Karlsson trade?
I guess it would be the result. There would be the result of the trade then, because I didn't think about that wrinkle when you mentioned it. So now that kind of throws the numbers. Yeah. Okay. Damn it. Completely screwed up on everything. No, that's a fair question, Shay, but I guess.
Two knowingly and 3 where it was a condition.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
That's my decision.
Well, Eric, do you have a guess? But I think because of the way I calculated this, it's going to be all the numbers are off a little bit.
I was there with Betsy. I thought it was 2 and then it would be 3. Yeah. With the conditional, the Ottawa one.
So in the last 10 years, there's been 8 overall by the math that I counted, which was just, which was not based, like, they weren't always known that there were going to be top 10 picks at the time of the trade. Because, for example, the Blackhawks trade for Seth Jones in 2021 ended up being Columbus got the number 6 pick in 2022 because of that trade. Obviously, the Hawks sucked, so at the time, we didn't think the thinking was that the Hawks might be a little bit better because of the Seth Jones trade. We don't have to go down this road again. But they ended up getting a top 10 pick in that Seth Jones trade. And actually, both of the trades involving a top 10 pick in the 2022 draft were Blackhawks trades. It was the Seth Jones trade at number 6, and then Chicago trading DeBrincat to get the number 7 pick from Ottawa.
Gorch, baby.
Interesting. Yeah.
But the majority of times that a trade has been made that involved what ended up being a top 10 pick, there were other players involved, other NHL-ready talent involved in the trade. Like, you go to 2021, Arizona traded OEL, or Ottawa trading Eric Karlsson, or Colorado trading Matt Duchene, or go all the way back to the Rangers trading for Derek Stepan. I might have meant to say trading for these players. Whatever. But you get the point that it's NHL-ready talent that is involved in these trades that is leading to these things happening. For the Blackhawks, they don't have those pieces. They are not going to do that, because who are you going to trade to get a first-round pick from the roster right now?
It's true.
Six guys.
Seth Jones with $3.5 million.
Seth Jones with Caleb Jones sitting on his shoulders. And they get to use two sticks. So the point being that it's extremely difficult for the Blackhawks to make a trade like that to get into the top 10 that route. I did find three trades in the last 4 years where it was just a draft pick, draft capital trade. And it seems like this is kind of a good barometer for what it would take for the Blackhawks to move up into the top 10. And then we can see what everyone thinks about this. So 2022, Arizona traded from number 27 to number 11, and it cost them 2 second-round picks. In 2021, Detroit traded up to number 14 from number 22. It cost them a second and a fifth. Arizona traded up to number 11 in 2019. And it cost them the 14. So they moved up three places from 14 to 11, and it cost them a second round pick. So
what?
Go ahead.
What was the second one?
The second one was Detroit in 2021, trading up.
Yeah. What was the movement?
Excuse me. They traded up to 14 from 22, and it cost them a second and a fifth.
Do you know what the second was?
The second round pick, it was number 47, and then the fifth round pick was number 137. So it was a middle second round pick, if you will.
All right. So I'm trying to think of years of drafts, because some of these drafts were not considered good drafts.
I was wondering if the
difference in them is because of that. Because going from, you said one was 27 to 11, and then that one was 22 to 14, so a smaller space, but that other draft might have been considered weaker.
Right. Yeah. So that's another factor in here. I think this trade, the 2022 draft, this trade with, it was Arizona and San Jose. I think this is where, if you are interested in this route, this is what you probably need to look at. To move up 16 places, Arizona traded they swapped first round picks. And to do that, it cost them a second round pick, which was number 34. So that's like third in the second round. And then the number 45 pick. So it cost them an early second rounder and a mid second rounder to move up 16 places. The Hawks, if we say they're jumping up 11 for Washington, it's going to be 11 spaces. And they're also jumping up higher in the draft, so the value's a little bit steeper. So I don't know if 2 second round picks is going to do it. But if we hypothetically said they did, first of all, does that sound about right? If it was going to be 2 second round picks to move up, does that sound?
I think it would
right
take more than that to get to 8 personally. Like, just going into the top 10 in this draft feels like it would take more, but if that's all it took, maybe that would be what the Hawks own
Hawks' second round picks this year are number 3 in the second round, number 12 in the second round, number 51, and number 55.
Okay, so the top two.
So, yeah, it would be the number 35 and the number 44. Shay and Eric, what do you two think? How would And I mean, maybe they have to throw in like a fourth or a fifth as well to make it all work. But does this sound enticing to you? If I was going to say, take the number 19 pick, throw in these other two high second rounders and try and get up to number 8, which is where we're targeting right now.
If Mitch Cobb is still available, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would not be opposed to 3 second round picks if Mitch Cobb is still available and you can do that.
Okay.
Because all you're trying to do the whole entire time is hedge your bets, right? And get the best possible player you can get to give you the most chance of succeeding at the next level. If he's there at 8, I don't think there's anybody else better than that, probably in the rest of the draft. Sure. So whatever you can do, that's to me is more valuable than whatever lottery tickets you're going to get in the second round.
Shay, what about you? You sounded like you were in full agreement, but...
Yeah, I agree. If Mitch Cobb is there at 8, go get him, because like all of the draft experts are saying, like, there's a clear 1 and 2 in this draft, and it's not Leo Carlson, and it's not really even Adam Vantilli. Like, the only reason he's not going higher is because he's signed to a contract. The Blackhawks can afford to wait. I was saying if we didn't get Bedard, that the pick should be Mitch Cobb. If we can get both of them. If they can get both of them, that's insane. That's you are set for the night. That's your next decade.
I agree fully that if all it took was 2 seconds, even a third second probably is not really a big deal either.
No.
And you know I love quantity. I love expanding probability. But do you think that it would still cost more if it was Mitchkov versus some other random... Like, if you're just talking about generally the 8th in this draft, but he's already been taken.
It's like Will Smith or
Benson, I think's another
name.
Have you guys
read Power's recent What I've Heard About the Blackhawks article?
No, I haven't.
I saw that one, yeah.
They talked about Ryan Leonard, who was a college hockey kid. Is he college hockey yet? I know he's USD.
No, he's in the development program still.
Yeah, he's going to college, right?
Yeah, he's going next year.
Boston.
He's on the Sam Rinzell route.
Yeah. Him and Will Smith are going together.
Yeah. They were talking about liking him. Like, literally when they were saying if they were gonna pick like anywhere between 3rd and 5th, they were thinking about him. And it's funny because I had never even heard him be in the conversation of top 5. So it was one of those, like, would they jump up for him? And would you guys think two second round picks were worth him? And he's generally ranked anywhere between like 8th to like 10th, 12th, something like that. He's in that huddle of kids that are like not quite above, not Benson or Will Smith, and obviously not the top 4.
Top 5.
I guess that my question for the group would then be, if it's not Mitchkov, if it's this Ryan Leonard or any of these other prospects who would be selected at number 8, would you be as interested in trading up to number 8?
That is a question that becomes, how much do we trust Kyle Davidson?
Well, I don't have enough data to answer that question accurately.
Well, I think that's the answer to the question. None of us have enough data to answer that accurately. Like, obviously they would do that. If Mitchkov is gone and they still did that, that means that they really, really like somebody who's available then. Mm-hmm. But again, it's all, you're just trying to give yourself the best odds. So the odds of getting a really good player in the top 10 are so much better than the middle of the second round or even the top half of the second round. So I mean, there's not really, you know, anything that would make me, you know, pull my hair out or anything or be like, how could you do that? It's more just kind of, okay, well, you know, let's wait and see what this looks like.
Yeah. You guys know I love to post the chart of the exponential,
yes.
The slide of trade value. And it's right. The top 10 is the value of 2 second round picks, and probability is roughly a little bit less than a top 10 pick. So like technically you're like, okay, well, if I have 2 second round picks, that's not terrible. It'll be good in comparison to if I got a top round pick. It's just the probability evens out that way. But so yeah, I could see that. If it's Mitchkov, you've got to jump on it. If it's another one, if you really like the kid, yes. probably even if, like, if just this draft is so interesting because it's so top heavy. I think it's got better talent throughout, but also I think it's their top like 15 is a slightly stronger grouping than maybe any other drafts recently.
So just like moving up from 19 in general, just seems like it, like you might get a better, like the Mishkov, I hadn't really thought about the Mishkov variable when I was doing all this research. And that is a very interesting point that you've all made. And I would certainly listen if that became available. Actually, in the article the Scott Powers article that was just referenced, it actually says in the article, the Blackhawks aren't optimistic about their chances to move up.
Yeah.
The other team that it specifically calls out is Vancouver at number 11 because they got some contracts they're trying to unload. So the Blackhawks would be in a position to potentially take on a contract as a means of enticing that trade to happen. That might lessen the cost to move up from it wouldn't be as much of a cost because you're only going from 19 to 11 instead of 19 to 8. And also if the Hawks take on a contract, that dwindles the cost as well. So, but then you may
maybe not if they take on a if they take on a contract, it's not even moving from 19. Maybe you still have 19.
Yeah.
If you look at like past historic top, like even top 15, that's not normally cap dumps are not going to be that high.
The only one that I could find as I was going through this list was Carolina took on the Marlowe contract in 2020 and got up to number 13. And there were pieces involved.
They thought he was going to like play with them well. Yeah. But yeah. I'll say
it wasn't just a strict cap dump. You are. Yeah, correct.
Well, it's interesting because I would think, like, what if you were getting, like, the most common name people throw out is that they want to get out of the Garland contract. And he's a good player. He's
yes.
a great player, but he's a good player.
Garland's solid. I would take Garland in a heartbeat.
So would I. But, like, would – could you, I don't think you could trade – like, they wouldn't give up a first – like, their top – their 11th pick.
Well, it would be a Blackhawks second. And you get Connor Garland. You essentially would like,
Garland plus the 11th to the Blackhawks for the 19th and whatever they're
and a second maybe instead of two. Yes.
If you're taking back a contract, why you shouldn't have to give up a second. I think 19 for 11 and Garland is fine.
That's where you get into the negotiation between the GMs. But I think just the general idea here is that it would not cost as much on the Blackhawks end, because by taking on a contract, that's like, that's part of the cost for sure.
The if you want to do that for Leonard, sure.
And Garland's contract is for 3 more years or 2 more years. I can't, it's 3, right?
3 more years at 4.95. At almost
5 million.
Yep.
So like, you'd be almost like trading, like you have 1 more year of Tyler Johnson. So you'd have 2 Tyler Johnsons, and then Garland's currently better than Tyler Johnson, but that's not saying much.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it would give Bedard
somebody's got to play with Connor Bedard.
That's what I was just saying.
I get that. It's just that Garland is also a small player too. So I know you're gonna want to have like I'm not one of those.
He's small, but he's also feisty.
I get that. I'm not one of those people that's like you have to put big guys with him because he's not huge. But I do think you have to put guys that will be stylistically like balanced with him, especially in the NHL and especially with, what they like when Zegras and
Troy Terry.
Yeah. Did that. I mean, like they did the awesomeness and what did they immediately do? They got fucking punched in the face and jumped.
Yeah.
One thing you do not want, and I don't want face punchers. Do not. It's not what I want, but
you don't want Milan Lucic or Ryan Reed.
But it wouldn't be bad to have the guys that need to grind that are good skilled players and could grind.
That's Garland.
You definitely want a balanced roster. I don't know. I just Garland is a weak hit too.
So that's that is why I want to come back to Washington, because the one contract the one name I saw floated as a potential cap dump in Washington, Anthony Mantha.
Ooh.
Because Anthony Mantha is at $5.7 million for – it's only one more season, so they're not, like, entirely it's not like a massive albatross like some other contracts are. But if the Hawks take on that contract as part of the cost of the deal, that could be interesting. And the Hawks are in a better position to take on that contract than anyone else. And
I don't think Washington needs to dump that, though. I'm looking – they have, like, 7.3. They're under the cap right now.
Yeah. Well – It's a matter of whether or not they're looking to
massively improve their team.
If they're looking to add some pieces elsewhere, this is me getting armchair GM, getting very experimental. I thought I saw someone mention that name on Twitter.
I mean, you're not wrong. They have space, but they also don't have
a second defenseman. They have John Carlson, and then they got rid of Dimitri
Orlov. And then Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
They only have five currently signed defensemen and only 10. Yeah, 10 forwards. So that space is not going to go far unless they're going to.
Yeah.
And also, if you take Mantha and that, like, hopefully gets you out of the third, second, you can trade Mantha, you can retain on Mantha, trade him at the deadline, and recoup some of that cost.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's all part of the same, you know, it's the same mentality of acquiring veteran talent to flip at the deadline. Like,
well, yeah, and that's
absolutely
why,
right, Shay.
That's why I didn't mind Garland. Cause that's why I was saying you're trading, because Garland and Tyler Johnson are of similar, like, size, and their contract's similar. So you're about to be rid of Tyler Johnson either just by the end of the year, or they're going to trade him. So it's not a big deal if you plug in Garland. I just don't know if he'll pull up the dog. He might. Who knows? Skilled guys got to play with skill kids, right?
Yeah.
So I
think just the general, like, the exercise here is, like, there could be I don't want to say there could be options. It's just that, like, the Washington thing, I would like to reiterate, I feel like that was more speculative on my part and all of us, like, with the Mishkov variable in there. So I don't want to make either one – the people listening to this, I don't want anybody to think that we are saying these things are going to happen. I wanted to, like, kind of lay out more of a data and logistics-based discussion on whether or not these things are even possible. And I think there's – it seems like with some of the reporting the Powers had that, like, the Vancouver at 11 is more possible than, like, Washington at 8. But if we're going to armchair GM it with Mishkov, if Mishkov slid down to 8, we'd all be calling their offices immediately if we were in that booth. But I guess we're not Kyle Davidson yet.
No, we are drunk with power, by the way. A little over 2 weeks ago, we're like, yeah, they're going to get Will Smith. And now we're like, yeah, let's get Connor Bedard, and we're going to go get Matt Vajkov. And
I, you know what? Whatever dumbass GM Toronto's about to hire, because that's how things work in Toronto. Just get whatever players are going to throw under the bus for losing this season. We'll take them. Maybe not this season, maybe a year or two, but. We'll take
Mitch Marner.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, Seth Jones for Mitchie Mitch. Let's do it.
Straight up.
Let's go. Straight up.
I feel like it's not Nylander that's on the outs out there, but that's – who knows?
Yeah.
I guess it probably depends who the GM is.
Yeah.
We'll take him too.
Yeah. We'll take them all. All right. We're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back to the other side of this break, and we'll find something else to talk about, I'm sure. So come on back for all of that.
Was off the ankle of Gustav Forsling, who's hobbling around on the ice right now. Kurashev around him, scores!
Forsling banged up. He still can't get off the ice. Took that slap shot from Caleb Jones off the right ankle.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. And there's a little bit of Blackhawks news that we wanted to talk about. It's a very minor thing because this is the part of the year that's kind of dead for a while the rest of the playoffs finish up. And then we'll have, like, 3 weeks of insanity with the draft and free agency and whatever trades happen. And then everybody in the NHL goes to a lake house and will adjourn until September. But the news that came out this week is that the Blackhawks, they're not going to have the on-ice developmental camp that they usually do in the summer. I believe it's usually July when this happens. Obviously, the biggest thing here is that it takes away what would have been the first public viewing of Connor Bedard in a Blackhawks uniform. And I want to read this quote because it's the assistant general manager and director of player development, Mark Eaton, talked about this with Charlie Romeliotis from NBC Sports Chicago. And the reason that one of the reasons he gave is that it's kind of an interruption of their usual training schedule. And I'm going to read this quote verbatim from Mark Eaton. They'll kind of stop their offseason training just to start skating, which a lot of them aren't doing consistently through June. So they put their off-ice training on hold to start skating so that they can show up. They can play well when they show up and they do get to Chicago. So by the time you look at when they stop their training to start skating, a lot of times they may give themselves off a week at their developmental camp. You're looking at a whole month of the offseason that they're with their physical development that took a back seat. So it seems like the idea here, which I had never considered this before, that they stop an offseason weight training program to get into skating shape to show up at prospect developmental camp, which it would make sense because I imagine you can't just, if you want to be an impressive rookie at these camps, you can't just roll out of bed and start skating that day. So it takes a little bit of time to ramp up. Did this mean anything to any of you about this quote? Oh, wait, before I get that.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead. There's another quote related to this as well.
It's not really a quote. It's just that Scott Powers mentioned this too. He said the Blackhawks are holding their development camp entirely off ice this summer.
Okay.
The hockey operations staff decided in December that their prospects were already on the ice too much throughout the season and that they could use the time more effectively to teach the players how to become professional hockey players off the ice. And he says, specifically, Kevin Korchinski is a great example of this, who's played too much hockey in the last 2 years. He's played around nearly 200 games in the last two seasons between the regular season with the Thunderbirds in the playoffs, Team Canada, and then playing for the Blackhawks in the preseason. And then he said the Blackhawks probably would have liked Korchinski's season to have ended last month so he could have already begun the process of adding weight and muscle.
Wait. So you want the Rockford IceHogs going deep in the playoffs, but you don't want your first round pick going deep in the playoffs.
I assume it's probably like different stages of their development.
Yeah. That was mostly me just being a smart ass, but
I ain't going right over my head.
But yeah. So I saw this and I think just with, a lot of things that have come from the Blackhawks organization lately, like anytime anything has changed, like your bullshit detector immediately gets raised just to see what it is. This does come from the hockey side of operations, not like the business side. And the business side is where the bullshit alarm goes off a lot louder for me these days. I'm not reading into more into this than just taking it at face value, unless one of you can convince me otherwise.
Listen, somebody has to make all the Connor Bedard jerseys that they sell. It might as well be all their prospects.
Yeah, I just I like from the business side of it, in which I hate that this is where my mind went initially. But like, do you know how much money they can make in a week by just having Connor Bedard on the ice doing drills for half an hour? Like, if you charge $5 a head, they could have it at the United Center, sell merch, like. They could make six digits in a week. Nope. Maybe seven. Questions asked.
It's a good thing then, maybe. So first of all, I'll take it at face value because they did say it was decided in December, which
that
was
is,
before
yeah, that is a fair
they
point.
Knew Bedard was going to be a thing. But also, there's been a lot of talk about, like, should we lower our expectations on Bedard? And I don't think we should lower the expectations because I think he's going to be very good. But maybe we should stop talking about it so loudly for the kid. Like, and then I could totally see how much pressure, like you just said, put him in the United Center and let him play. And it's like, that's a lot. He seems like a really good kid who knows how to balance that and has a good family that knows how to help him with that kind of stuff. But anything the organization can do to de-stress being thrust into the face of the franchise before he's even 18.
Yeah. Can I ask this? When was the last time our first overall prospect had a really, really good first season, rookie season? Was it McDavid?
Oh, like the number one overall pick, you mean?
McDavid was hurt He was hurt the first half of his year.
He was hurt, but he was more than a point per game in the game.
Yeah, he was more than a point per game.
Austin Matthews.
It's been a while because the first round pick guys haven't been.
Yeah, so that's a lot of pressure to be put on these guys, maybe. And that's what's. And while most of them aren't.
For him, it's been there already. It's been there all year long. Like, it was there at Worlds. It's been all the Regina games have sold out. Everywhere else he's going has sold out. I think part of what makes him so good is he's like McDavid. He's like Crosby. He's a hockey robot. Like, that's what he does all day long. And that's, listen, if that's what they're doing and they're doing it for his benefit, whether or not they'd ever come out and say that, I have absolutely no problem with that. Yeah, no one should have any type of problem with that. But I don't think you need to do that on his behalf, you know, thinking it's going to, you need to shelter him from.
No, I don't think so.
I think
either.
He's ready for this stuff. Yeah.
I don't think so either. I think it's like a benefit of it, you know, like
it wasn't the plan. It was an unexpected benefit.
Bonus. And I think it would have been an unexpected bonus for anybody they drafted, but especially for Bedard. Cause I mean, just look at how many tickets they sold. There's obviously like, people that are hinging their entire, like we are, our entire sports fandom on this one kid. And he's, like I said, I think he is ready for it and he's got a good family behind him. But I also don't mind if the organization is taking appropriate steps to make sure that he stays that way. They talked about, there was like this recent thing where they talked about how they have these like mental health checks now in the Blackhawks organization and other steps that I'm sure came out of all the dirtiness. But those are some things that I was really interested in. I hope they talk about them more because one, I think it should be talked about more in hockey in general, like, and sports in general. And then two, I just think it's a cool concept and I would love to know what they're doing because in a corporate world, those types of steps tend to be very shallow or...
We're just doing this to save face type of thing.
So it'd be interesting to see what they're actually doing and see if it would work. But I like that approach and I don't mind that there... If it just happens to be like a side benefit of it, then I'm cool with that. But it doesn't sound like it was because of Bedard. It sounds like it was predetermined way, way, way in advance.
Yeah. I think, Eric, you might have said this and it might have got lost in the conversation, but Austin Matthews was probably the last number one pick to show up and have an awesome season. He had a nice 69 points in 82 games in his rookie season and won the Calder. So there you go. That was probably the last one because all the other ones are – it's a lot of no's. Like Jack Hughes is awesome now, but his first season was not so much. He had
the same thing can be said for Matty Beniers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're still waiting on Lafreniere.
Is it
sorry.
Is it Matty in this his rookie season?
Okay. His draft plus 1 year.
Yeah.
He only played 10 games though.
He was drafted in
exactly. He was the number 2 pick and he only played 10 games. Like
So he didn't have the immediate impact like Connor Bedard, fingers crossed, is about to. I'm totally on board the Matty Beniers train because he's a lot of fun to watch. That was my postseason revelation this year was he's a lot of fun. I enjoy watching him play hockey. All right, well I'm glad we got through that topic because I saw that and I spent like a good amount of time like is this bullshit or is this just is this a thing or is this mean something stupid is happening behind the scenes? But
it's always weird when they're like, oh yeah, we decided it in December, but we're just telling you right now.
Yeah,
like, nobody said anything before we got this kid, but now we got to. Oh yeah, and yeah.
Oh yeah. We totally meant to do that. Absolutely. That's like anybody who's like claiming that like the Blackhawks plan worked because they got the number one pick. Like they got lucky as hell that they got this number one pick. I mean, I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to apologize for being happy about it, but they also got lucky as hell with this.
Did any of you guys see the, like, there was a thread going around Twitter that was like, look at this random no-name player scoring a goal in that Pittsburgh game, and that's the reason the Blackhawks, like, that's you can pick out any one There's, but it was Buddy Robinson scored in that Pittsburgh game. They're like, how much history changed? Because they were like, look, Pittsburgh out of the playoffs for the first time in forever. The Panthers are the number eight seed now, the team of destiny. And the Blackhawks won the first overall pick. Like, they're like, this one game can point to way too much crap. Like, historical changes.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing. If Jonathan Toews scores on that breakaway against the Flyers in the final game.
Yeah, but that only impacts the Blackhawks. That game against Pittsburgh impacts the current.
It's the butterfly effect.
Yeah, it's the butterfly effect of the playoffs are huge. Like, again, Pittsburgh just destroyed all their whatever. Well, and then the Leafs finally got in. Like, it changed the Leafs' position in the postseason. And also, they were like, look how the trickle-down effect of this. And I was like, that's crazy, but here it is. Hold on. Florida doesn't make... if this doesn't happen, Florida doesn't make the playoffs. Pittsburgh does. Chicago doesn't get Bedard. The Bruins don't blow a 3-1 lead. The Leafs versus Bruins round two probably happens. Kyle Dubas maybe doesn't get fired. Montreal maybe gets a lottery pick. Like, there's all kinds of like random things people... It's such... going around. Just search Buddy Robinson. And
yeah, that's...
Probably the only time Buddy Robinson
I'm sure you'll have to find plenty of other Buddy Robinson tweets to sort through. But
just look, it's just latest. You would be fine. But that's just weird. Buddy Robinson.
But we're sure he's a nice guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
His name is Buddy.
Yeah. He's not your buddy guy. All right. I think that's I don't have any other hockey topics to talk about. Shea's Knights are still up 4-0 on Dallas, so I don't think we have to worry about jinxing them in this game. So that series looks like it's headed to a potential sweep. So I guess it's food take time as the best food themed hockey podcast on the internet. And I think this is Eric's turn. I think Eric, you had one for the group. It was more of a food thought or discussion prompt. So please go right ahead.
Let me try to pull it up from what I sent you before.
Okay.
Where is it?
Because I'm happy to report to the group that for the second weekend in a row, I had sausage and giardiniera pizza, and my life is just substantially improved, and I'm going to have to find a place this coming Saturday to get it again, I guess, because that's just – Saturday is just going to become sausage and giardiniera pizza for – well, actually, it was on Sunday this weekend, so just – I got to find a sausage and giardiniera pizza every weekend. I guess that's where I'm at now.
Or just get Jardiner and then have your own. Get a decent sausage pizza from somewhere you can add that yourself to. So the thing that I sent to Dave was, what food item do you think that you could eat the most of in one sitting?
So I've been thinking about this a little bit today. So I'll stall for time and give everyone else a bit of an opportunity to think about this. The immediate thought is that it cannot be any sort of meat product, because anything with high amounts of protein in it is not going to be conducive to this exercise. I would assume. So you're probably looking in the carbs world. And I have a couple here where I'm going to start though. Well, here, there's a very obvious one I think that most people will go to, and I'm going to skip that one. I think I could put down an ungodly amount of French fries. I think that's where I'm at. French fries is going to be my pick.
If you're talking about like sheer weight of something, potatoes are a good choice, like fries or whatever. I once sat at an all-you-can-eat sushi place.
Ooh.
People were coming and going, and I was there for 5 hours, and I have no idea how much I ate, but it was way too much. Like, I was there for like almost 5 hours. It was our volleyball team did, like, we did really well 1 year in high school, and literally it was like, come and go as you can, but I was riding with the coach, so I stayed the whole time. And yeah, I ate a lot of sushi, and I bet I could still eat a lot of sushi in one go. They're small.
And like, I feel like there are usually a lot of rice in there.
Yeah.
Often. So rice is something that I think you could eat high quantities of. So as long as there's not too much like fish or other protein rich items in there, I think sushi's on the board for sure.
It was what
does
go ahead.
I was going to say, doesn't seaweed expand in your stomach, though? Isn't that the thing? Like, Kobayashi always ate a bunch of seaweed because it stretched his stomach out.
Oh, my God.
I have no idea.
I can't. Like, that sounds like just crazy enough that somebody that was a professional competitive eater, which is just the most bizarre sentence or just the bizarre title I've ever heard of. But the fact that, like, that was something that he probably did research into and discovered he could get an edge that way.
Maybe the reason I eat a lot of sushi is because I eat a lot of sushi already.
Yeah.
I'm already stretching my stomach out.
Yo, dog, I heard you like sushi, so we're going to give you some sushi on top of your sushi.
All this discussion reminds me of that scene in The Hunger Games when they're at, like, the thing, and there's a drink, and she's like, what do you drink? Like, she says something, and they're like, we're going to drink this. It'll make us throw up so we can eat more. that's all I'm doing. Ugh. Okay. Sorry.
Do they blood test for seaweed at the hot dog eating contest? Because that's an illegal benefit.
I mean, okay, it's common practice for competitive eaters to, the night before a competition, eat just a ton of grapes, because that also expands the stomach out.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Is that your entry into the
entry is living in San Antonio. If you gave me like a mountain of chips and like a big bowl of queso, I could take that whole thing though.
Ooh, chips and guac. Yes.
Ooh, yeah. Chips and most dips. I'm in. Yeah.
I feel like most appetizers that are like carb based would be, you're like, I could just sit here and eat this.
It'd be a problem. Eric, this was your problem.
The chips and dip kind of leans into my thinking, which is if you had to have something that's kind of two different tastes at the same time, because I think if it's just the same thing, like hammered over and over and over and over and over, eventually it would start to disgust you. Or you couldn't stomach it anymore. I don't know. I feel like if you caught me I could eat two boxes of cereal.
Ooh.
A little bit of milk and just sit. If I'm in the right mood, I could totally. That's probably what I feel like I could take down most of.
My nephew once ate a family size thing of the white cheddar Cheez-Its and then went to town. Like the family size. It was like really big.
Jesus.
He ate it. Like we were like just watching movies instead of having popcorn. That's what he had. And I noticed he put the box down and then he reached for Goldfish. That is a dentist's worst nightmare right there.
Is he still alive? Like,
yeah, he was fine. He was like 12. Oh. So his metabolism was nothing. But
teenage boys, that's the most hungry. I just remember coming home from school and just eating until dinner and just nonstop. Like, and my parents being like, what is wrong with you? It's like a movie when you get like infected with the space alien and then your parents go to your room and there's just wrappers and like you eat a cat and just like, nonstop.
It's like you're eating for two. It's for you and the space alien in your closet.
Exactly.
I'm laughing at Mark Stone making fun of Max Domi.
They're all laughing at him every because I'm not watching Survivor. I have the game on in the background on silent. So every time somebody laughs at Domi, I'm like, you are fine on my team, but I don't care.
Yeah, well, just get ready for him to come back in free agency in the summer.
That Powers article seemed to suggest it wasn't going to happen.
Let's hope. Oh, really? Good. Yeah. We had Max Domi for a season. It was fine. Nothing bad happened.
It had to do with the fact that they were like, he probably wants a longer contract of the Blackhawks.
Well, going into this series, he played pretty well in the playoffs and it looked like he might have priced himself out. So watch him do something incredibly stupid in the next game to drop his price tag all the way back down.
Hey, I hope Max Domi gets $6 million for 6 years somewhere, just not in Chicago. There's 31 other places I'll be fine with him getting all the money he wants.
The problem is he's already been to like 12 of them. Yeah. And they already know him at this point. So
I also feel like that whole thing was contingent on the fact they were like, Domi loved it here. And it was like, yeah, but it's because he liked Patrick Kane. Like, yeah,
that's true.
He liked playing with Patrick Kane and the team. And that's gone now.
Well, but there is a shiny new toy on the way.
No, but so. I mean, like, as a person, he became friends with Kane really quickly. Like, there are a lot of players that have left that have been like, I liked playing with Kane, but I liked being his friend more. And you're like, yeah, yeah. Okay, the hockey nerd ones, which I wouldn't assume Domi would have been, but they like clicked really quickly. Like, same thing with Andrew Shaw. They clicked really quickly. And I would
say like Strome and DeBrincat were, I think, two other people in that category.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Schmaltz was his boy too.
Yeah.
Really back to the food discussion really quick. Like, I thought somebody was just going to say pizza, 'cause that seems like the most obvious one. And I was going to double down with a specific, and just say cheese pizza, because that's, you get rid of any toppings that could,
I actually think pizza's too heavy.
Yeah.
And I would say if there's not too much cheese on it,
it depends on the pizza too, because if there's this weird thing where the more processed the flour is, like when you eat a lot of pizza and you feel bloated, it's 'cause it's typically crappy flour. So depending on like the ferment and what type of flour they use in the pizza, sometimes it's really hard. And then obviously if you're talking about like pan or anything that's stuffed, like a couple of pieces and you're out.
I would hear more about these pizza details.
If you go to Italy, if you go, you know, and you eat pizza in Italy, all the pizzas there are made to be individual. They're all like 12-inch pizzas, but the wheat, it's harvested behind the pizzeria half the time and it's milled right there. So you're getting such good quality wheat. I've heard like pizza chefs and pizza buddies go over there and they'll eat 10 or 12 pizzas in a day and not even be full and be like, I felt great, because they're able to digest it so much easier.
I thought that was sugar based. 'Cause like whenever anybody talks about Italy and they're like, well, they eat a ton of pasta, but they, it's like, it's a combination of, well, there's not as much sugar and it's not processed as much. And then walking, obviously, is a walkable cities, but I wouldn't have thought flour. I just never thought about it like that.
So second city hockey staff trip to Italy soon, because you mean a place I can go eat a dozen pizzas and not feel terrible about myself? Yes. Sign me up immediately.
If only we would have bet on them winning the lottery pick. Then, yeah, we could all be in Italy right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, actually, I believe the Blackhawks did the most money in terms of betting on the lottery. So the odds probably weren't that good.
Yeah, they were really.
We have to remember the script writers designed it this way, that the Blackhawks were going to get the number one pick. So.
That's right. The fix was in.
Yes, it was. Isn't it great?
What are the odds of them trading for Michkov? Let's do that.
All the writers are on strike right now, so I don't know.
Oh, that's right.
My inside information's gone, but I'll see if I can find something. Maybe somebody messed up and something good will happen for like the Flyers or some other team that's been historically inept for a while.
No, they just got Keith Jones, so there's no way that they're They're not doing anything smart in this. Yeah.
Apologies to all the Philly fans in the
who's the biggest, toughest guy that might be in round one? That's exactly who we're going to take.
Is Ryan Reeves old enough to have a child in the draft yet?
Oh God.
All right. Well, that's. I think that'll do it for this episode. Unless there's any other final thoughts before we get on out of here. Get on out of here like we're the Dallas Stars in the conference final.
You.
Heyo.
Dallas or Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carolina. Trying to like reverse jinx us every time. Like,
I think Carolina is going to at least make that. I don't think that's going to be a sweep. I feel like Carolina is going to.
Carolina has lost 11 straight games in the conference finals.
They have to figure out, man. Bob has almost like a 12, like he saved almost 12 goals above expected. They need to figure out what to do about him.
I feel,
how do
they Barkov, is Barkov out? Have they said anything about him today? I haven't seen anything. I haven't heard any
updates either. That sounds they're going to keep it low, keep it low key. It just, there's a headline at the NHL website that says they're optimistic he's going to play, which means nothing.
They should sit him for the game and like keep him safe in bubble wrap.
No, I feel like that Bobrovsky dam is going to break at some point. It may not even be till next season, but I could also see it happening with a certain team in the Stanley Cup final, because it just seems a little unsustainable. Maybe that all those saves he's making.
He's good in the odd years,
and short burst samples are. Rife with PDO.
Yeah. There you go. We'll see what happens. But I think that is going to do it for this here episode of Musings on Madison. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Thanks to everyone who's been following along at the website or signed up with a subscription or however you've been interacting with all of this stuff we do here. We very much appreciate it, and we're looking forward to having a lot more fun with wherever the hell this ride's taking us down the road. We might be back next week. We might not. There's not too much happening for the next few weeks, so we might put the Musings on Madison episodes on hold for a bit, but we've got some Friday shows working their way through the pipeline, so we'll have some podcast stuff for you to get you through some work days if you need something to distract you. So hopefully that'll help you out. I'm on Twitter at dmelt57. Shepard is at your host's witness. The other two are not on Twitter, but they're at secondcityhockey.com, where you can find all of our stuff. I think that's going to do it for this episode, and we will talk to you next time, whenever that next time is.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.